singing of the hymn, I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. 439 in the book, and it's on the screen as well. After the introduction, stand and sing.
Thank you. still our hearts in the Lord's presence in prayer. And after we pray, our sister Natasha will come with her first message in song. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for gathering us together in this fashion tonight. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt meet with us as we have come into the courts of Thy house. We pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart through Thy word tonight. We pray that the word will be as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, as a nail in a sure place, as a sharp two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. We pray that Thou wilt speak through Thy word tonight. We thank Thee for the power of the word, and we pray that we might feel that power tonight in our own souls, and Lord, in the souls of those that listen in to this service. We pray, our God, that Thou wilt remember every listener, that Thou wilt speak to every heart tonight, and someone here in this building or somewhere else will hear the effectual call of the gospel and be irresistibly drawn to Christ. We thank Thee for the effectual call. We thank Thee for Thine irresistible grace. And we pray that tonight sinners will be drawn to Christ and souls of the sea. We're yet in the day of grace, and we rejoice in that. We're yet in the day of gospel opportunity. We're hearing this morning, this is the day of good tidings. Lord, we have got good tidings to tell. Our Savior hath done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. That's the news. Oh God, help us with the good news of the gospel tonight. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And help us, Lord, to present Thy word tonight with faithfulness and with fervency. We pray for those who are backslidden, bring them back to their first love. Many who sat in these pews, listen to Thy word over the years, and tonight finds them nowhere with Thee. I pray Thou wilt bring them back. Draw them again, Lord, from the swine troughs to the Father's house. We ask tonight, Lord, remember the sick amongst us. Many would be here and, Lord, be in their place, but cannot because of sickness or because of circumstances of life. Pray that Thou will be with them. We think of those, O God, who are going through difficult periods. Those who have storms in their life tonight. We pray that Thou will remember them. Families, situations, troubles and problems. We pray that Thou will draw near and give comfort and grant grace. In all of these situations we pray. Lord, we ask that You'll answer prayer for our land too at this time. Lord, the tide of iniquity is rising. But Lord, we pray that the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Lord, raise the standard against the enemy. This very night we pray. Bless our churches. Bless everywhere the gospel is preached. Lord, may we hear the news that here and there across Ulster tonight, in our cities, our towns, our villages, country districts, that people have got saved. Move across the land, the island, the nation, and further afield to the uttermost parts of the earth. Remember our dear brethren and sisters in Ukraine and the situation there. Give special help. Grant special grace. And meet the need of the displaced and the sorrowing and those who are suffering there at this time. Lord, drive back the oppressor, we pray, and answer prayer. Well, we pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. For the Ancient of Days, and that great hymn tonight. May the Lord bless it to our hearts as we've heard the Lord's servant sing it. Thank you, Natasha, for that. We're singing the hymn, great hymn of William Cushing. Down in the valley with my Saviour I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me I would follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. If you can stand then, stand with us as we hear the introduction and then join in the singing of this great hymn.
Thank you.
reading together from the Word of God tonight in the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 and the verse 22. Let us hear the Word of God. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he, that is Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth, and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them, he should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spake that saying openly, and Peter took him, and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible truth to all our hearts. We do welcome you tonight in the Lord's name. If you're listening in or in the service, we trust the Lord will bless you as you're joining with us tonight. Remember the basket at the door for your offerings. Building fund is also today. We appreciate your giving. The annual report for the past year, the financial report is available. And do please pick it up if you didn't already do so. And we thank you for your giving in 2021, those who give through the Gift Aid scheme as well. And if you're not in that scheme and you want to join it, do please make mention of that to our brother Billy Park, and he'll be able to give you the details about that to join up if you're a taxpayer with that scheme. We appreciate all the giving and the sacrificial giving in the past year once again through all the challenges that we've had with lockdowns and all of those things, yet the people of God here remain faithful in their tithes and offerings to the Lord's work. We thank you sincerely in the Lord's name for that. Tuesday night is the meeting for Bible study and prayer. Mr. Samuel Fitton at 8 o'clock will be along to bring the word and to lead the prayer meeting. It's a prayer meeting especially for our families. And do remember that on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and also for our Holiday Bible Club, which is coming up in a few months' time, the beginning of July. Do remember that and pray for it. And if you can help in any way during that period, you're available maybe during that period, first week of July, then do please indicate that too when the time comes. And we're collecting names for people to help. So remember that, please, and keep it in your mind and keep it in your prayers for the boys and girls to hear the gospel during that week. This week, on Friday night, there's a presbytery meeting in our Dungannon Church for ministers and elders. Next Lord's Day, at 10 o'clock, the Sunday school will meet. The morning prayer meeting at 11, family worship 11:30, evening prayer meeting 6:30, the gospel evening service at 7, and the preacher and soloist at both services next Lord's Day will be Dr. William McCrae. Do plan to be along at both services and to hear God's servant bring God's word at the services here next Lord's Day and minister in song as well. Next Sunday evening in our Carried Up Church, there's a meeting for young adults, young people at 8:45, and young people are welcome to attend that. That's in our Carried Up Church next Sunday evening at 8:45. Remember all who are sick at this time, those going through treatments, recovering from illnesses. Your prayers are appreciated by people and their families. We're thankful for those who are able to be out amongst us again after illness. Others still recovering, and pray that they will all soon be back with us again. The LTBS and FEAM magazines are available. Also the Mission Vision Week details in our Lisburn Church. These can be picked up as you leave the service tonight. Just to mention again, I'll be absent for 3 weeks on holiday. Reverend Samuel Murray has been appointed interim moderator, will be available for some of that time. He's in the States for part of it, so obviously he'll not be available during that time, but he's going out there to preach at the Week of Prayer out in Greenville, South Carolina, but he will be back again, and in the interim period Reverend McVeigh will be available if there are any emergencies. You can contact these men, either of them, depending what time it is or who's available at that time, through our clerk of session or Brother James. So keep that in mind, please. We'll be back again, God willing, towards the end of the month of May to preach the word again amongst you. We're going to join in the singing of another hymn before Natasha comes with her final message and song before we bring the Lord's word. Does Jesus care? And this is a question that is often asked by people. Does Jesus care? The man who wrote this hymn experienced terrible tragedy in his life. And he wrote the words of this hymn, having gone through that tragedy and gone through that trouble. And he wrote the words of this wonderful hymn. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens pressed and the cares distressed, and the days grow weary and long? And then the refrain is, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. And the Lord does care. And he cares for you tonight, whatever your situation is, whatever the storm is you're going through. The Lord cares for you and for your family at this time. Now we're going to stand after the introduction, if you can stand and sing this hymn together, please.
Amen.
much for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts tonight for His honor and for His glory. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer as we come to the concluding part of our service tonight. Let's seek the Lord's face. Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I draw your attention again to Mark's Gospel in our series in our Lord's Day evening services. And tonight we're in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 38. That's the portion of Scripture we're in tonight. The subject is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Mark, as in other Gospels, we read of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 2 of this passage, Mark chapter 8, we have the words of the Savior, I have compassion on the multitude. In another place we read how He was moved with compassion. The compassionate Savior. But also we read in the Gospels of the concern of the Savior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned about the needs of men and women and boys and girls. And those in every section of society. We have also the caring Savior. And we've been thinking about that tonight. Does Jesus care? And He does. And here He cared for people who had nothing to eat for 3 days. Verse 2. The famished multitude. The fainting masses, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, it tells us in verse 3. And here in this chapter 2, we are told about a blind man who was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 22. And the Lord wrought the miracle upon this man in restoring his sight, verse 25. We see in this passage of God's Word too, the challenge from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a challenge in regard to following Him, to being true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many who say to me, and perhaps to you as well, that they're a follower of Jesus. But do they really understand what following Jesus means? And do you really understand tonight what it means, what it involves? These words we refer to tonight in Scripture here bring this challenge to every person in this service to become a true follower, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that from the Word of God tonight, you will from this moment forward become a follower of Jesus Christ if as yet you follow Him not. There are some things in this passage of Scripture as we look at this theme tonight that I want to seek to develop with you. First of all, His person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before us here in verses 27 to 30. You see, we need to know who Jesus is. That is the most important question we will ever answer. When we answer that question, we will answer many other questions in our life. The Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching His disciples. And the number one lesson He was trying to get over to them was the realization as to His identity. You'll notice the first question that He asked had to do with popular opinion. Verses 27 to 28. Jesus went out and His disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And so this question has to do with popular opinion. Of course, people had many opinions. Then, in the day when Jesus walked upon the scene of time as they do today, about who Jesus is. Some here said that he was John the Baptist. And some said he was Elias or Elijah or one of the prophets. You see, people identified Jesus with John the Baptist because of his preaching. John preached at the River Jordan. He was an open-air preacher. He presented the Word of God wherever he went. Wherever people were gathered, the Lord Jesus Christ did the same. The Lord Jesus Christ preached in the open air on a multitude of occasions, out of a boat, the mountainside where people were gathered together. He taught them, he preached to them the Word of God. Some people thought that Jesus was Elijah because of his praying. Elijah was a great man of prayer. He had such power in prayer that he could shut up the heavens and it wouldn't rain for years. And it rained not, the Bible tells us, for 3 years and 6 months. And then in response to his prayer again, the windows of heaven opened and the rain came down. Elijah's praying had power to call water or fire out of heaven. 1 Kings chapter 18 reveals that to us. Jesus came not only as a preaching person, but also as a praying person. One time the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke 11, verse 1. Jesus was a man of prayer. And sometimes he spent whole nights in prayer. He knew how to pray. And some said, "This is Elijah because of his praying." Other people identified Jesus as one of the prophets. And I think this was because of his pathos, because of his heart. When Jesus spoke, he did so as no other person ever spoke. Never man speak like this man. They hung upon the words of Christ. Prophets of God were men of great compassion. But they were also men of great comprehension of God. They knew God. And when Jesus spoke, there was a tenderness. There was a compassion. There was a manifestation of love. And so tonight, my friend, this question had to do with popular opinion. What is the world saying as to who Jesus is tonight? What are you saying? You see, it's a personal opinion as well. Verse 29. And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" It comes down to the individual. He asked the disciples what their personal opinion of him was. It's a very important question. What we believe about Jesus Christ will be the beginning that will logically lead us to ultimate, to life-changing decisions. We cannot be neutral about the person of Christ. The hymn writer said, "Neutral you cannot be." He forces you to take a stand about the Lord Jesus Christ as to who he is. You'll have to come to some decision tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. What will your decision be? We're driven to one of four alternatives about his identity. Either Jesus was a legend. He never existed, that is. Secondly, Jesus was a liar. He was lying about whom he claimed to be. Thirdly, Jesus was a lunatic. He was crazy. He didn't know what he was doing. But the fourth thing is, Jesus is Lord. And Simon Peter here, he climbed the heights of inspiration. And he said here in verse 29, "Thou art the Christ." Matthew 16 and 16 adds that Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what he said, who Christ was,
Christ responded in Matthew 16:17. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, Peter spoke here by divine inspiration. The Spirit of God illuminated his heart. And he was able to say from his heart, a heart that had been enlightened, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter passed the test with flying colors. That's what Jesus had been saying. That's what Jesus had been trying to get them to understand. He was not a mere man. He was not just one of the prophets. He was God in human flesh. He was God and man in one person. As Paul puts it, God manifest in flesh. You know, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was one of the most momentous events that ever occurred. You see, it was God condescending to be born as a human being. A perfect human being, of course. And that's the most earth-shaking, far-reaching event in the history of the world. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in flesh. Person. Do you know this person? Is this person your Savior tonight? If not, I pray he will become your Savior before you leave this service. But not only his person, but his passion. Verses 31 to 33. Having taught them who he was, Jesus also had to teach them about what he had come into this world to do. And this is the first time he clearly alluded to his death. Early along the way, he had made vague references to the cross. But now he plainly and openly began to tell them that he had come into this world to die. Look at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about the cross. He talked about his passion. He talked about his suffering. And in doing so, he emphasized 3 things. First of all, he emphasized the necessity of it. The Son of Man, verse 31, must suffer many things. And that word must is a word of necessity. Jesus often used that word, must. In John chapter 3, for example, in verse 14, we read, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord Jesus Christ must be lifted up upon the cross. Why the must? Why did Jesus say that it had to be? Did Jesus mean that he was going to be the victim of circumstances? That he had no choice, that therefore he had to be crucified? No, he was talking about the plan of God. He was talking about God's eternal will. Jesus had to die on the cross for man's sin. It was the only way. It was the only way. You know, the Bible says that God is love. And that's the Bible's basic affirmation about God. God is love. And if we miss anything else about God, we ought not to miss that tonight. That God is love. What a statement. What a truth. It's an overwhelming truth. A truth that staggers the imagination. A truth that's difficult for us to understand. God is love. But we also have to remember that God is holy. That God is just. And the problem becomes this. How can a God who is loving the sinner and at the same time deal with the sinner's sin? How can God do that? Because God is a holy God, he cannot overlook sin. He cannot fail to deal with sin. So how can a holy God deal with sin and yet be a loving God who forgives sinners? How can God's love and justice come together? My friend, the solution is the cross. The solution is the cross. In eternity, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit came to understand in the councils of eternity there was only one way to be a loving and holy God at the same time. And they would solve the problem in the person of God the Son. And so in eternity, Jesus understood there must be a cross. He understood that. It was part of the divine plan, the divine purpose from all eternity. When God talked, and Jesus talked to his disciples about the cross, he talked in terms of a must, a necessity. And when he suffered, dear friends, and he bled, and he died on Calvary's cross, God was dealing with human sin, your sins and mine, but also providing the possibility of forgiveness for sinners. Forgiveness for all our sins, past, present, and future. The necessity of it. It's a must. But then, I want you to see the suffering of it. Verse 31, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Many things. Who knows what Jesus suffered? The hymn writer put it like this, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that our Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. Think of his rejection. He was rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes. He was rejected of his own people. He came unto his own. His own received him not. The political leaders, the religious leaders, the moral leaders of his day, they rejected Christ. The Bible tells us here, he must be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And the word for killed is not a word used for a normal death. It's a word that indicates violent death. He would be slaughtered. Dying on a cross was the most violent form of punishment ever devised. Never has a picture been ever painted that adequately conveys the scene. The Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon that cross. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was so marred more than any man, and his visage more than the sons of men, so much so that he was almost unrecognizable on the cross. And that was the reason for his coming. He came to die on Calvary's cross, my friend, because he loved us. He loved us. Love is why he came. That's what held Jesus to the cross, my friend. It was not the nails that held him there. It was love that held him there. He came to die for our sins. Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The necessity of it. He must. The suffering of it. He rejected, be killed. The triumph of it. Look at verse 31. And after 3 days, rise again. What a triumph he spoke of. Victory here. And the thought of crucifixion was more than Peter could stand. When Jesus started speaking about the cross, Peter wouldn't hear of it. Tried to silence the Lord. Peter said, be it far from thee. Matthew 16, 22. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. That's what Peter said. And one minute, Peter was as spiritual as he could have been, inspired to identify Christ as to who he really was, the Son of the living God. The next minute, he's listening to the voice of Satan. And how like Peter we all can be. Sometimes we criticize Peter, but we look in the mirror, we can see plenty of Peters, don't we? And ourselves. Verse 33, the Lord rebuked Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. You see, Peter had got his mind upon the things that be of man, not on the things of God. And the devil wants people to avoid the cross, just as he wanted to keep Jesus off the cross. He will try to keep us away from the cross. But my friend, it's the cross that is the answer to your need tonight. It's at the cross you must begin. when you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to the cross tonight, the passion of Christ. But then I want you to think tonight about his proposition. Verses 34 to 38. Look at verse 34 for a moment. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, it involves following Christ. Will you decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? And what is involved in this most important decision to follow Christ? And this is crucial tonight. First of all, it's a very serious decision. Verse 34. Coming after him, denying oneself, taking up the cross and following Christ. It involves denying oneself. Some people think that denying yourself involves giving up something for Lent. Somebody said to me the other day, I'm giving up cigarettes for Lent. Well, I wasn't nasty with them, but I said to them, you know, there's more to Christianity than that. Not an opportunity to witness to them. And some people give up drink for Lent. They do all these things and they think that that's following the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the period of Lent, they do these things. And they're well-meaning people, but they're blinded. No, my friend, to deny yourself basically means to say no to yourself. You relinquish all claims to your life. You renounce your right to run your life. It's a very serious decision. You know, we're living in a me generation. Everything revolves around me. We have all these advertisements. Think of yourself. That's just one of them. Who's the most important person in the world? You. All these advertisements. You only have to flick over your phone, you'll get them. Plenty of them. Do something for you. That's another one. Of course we have to look after ourselves and we can't be negligent. Of course we have to do things for ourselves. But, friend, Jesus said you have to renounce all claims of self. If you're to be a Christian, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, ye are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And Jesus Christ has an absolute claim upon your life. And to deny yourself means that you're no longer to live a self-centered life. You're to start living a Christ-centered life. You're to take up the cross. That's what it means, friend. That's what it involves. The Bible not only talks about the cross of the Savior, but it talks about the cross of the believer. Someone wrote these words, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. Will you take up the cross tonight? What does it mean to take up the cross? To a lot of people it means that you endure a difficult circumstance. Yes, maybe you will. And we all have to endure difficult circumstances in life. But much more than this. A cross is an instrument of death. Jesus said here essentially, be prepared to die for me. And there are people across this world tonight who are dying for the cause of Christ. And many have died already. In a physical sense, for the cause of Christ. But most of us want, you see, to follow Christ until it interferes with our plans. Remember a young man coming to me on one occasion? He said to me about going into the Lord's work and then he said about his plans. And he had all these plans for his life. And he said, you know, if I go into the Lord's work, I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that and the other thing. I said, look, I don't mean to be harsh, but if you're more interested in your plans than you are in the Lord's work, you can forget about the Lord's work. Forget about the ministry. Forget about full-time service. Because you'll never be able to do it unless you give up all that. To give up all that. Self. has to be crucified. People say, oh, I'll serve you, Jesus, but it's not going to get in the way of my family. Of course you look after your family. Of course you look after your family. And you must not be negligent of your family. That's very, very important. But friend, your family is not first. The Lord is first. It can't conflict with my job. I'll serve you, but I've got this or that or the other thing to do. Friend, self must be crucified. Jesus said, if you don't forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. It's very clear. Don't go out and say Alan Smiley said that. Jesus said that. I believe it. Because Jesus said it. It's a serious decision. It's a sensible decision. That's the next thing, verses 35 to 37. He talked about two alternatives in life with two results. You don't have to deny yourself and take up your cross. You can choose to save your life. Verse 35. If you make that choice in the long term, you will lose your life. The other alternative is the way of the cross. You can choose to follow Jesus. And in doing that, you will lose your life. But the result, you will find your life. You see, there's a paradox here. If you choose to save your life, you will lose it. People that look to what they can gain in the world materially, as far as physical things are concerned, of all of these things sitting around them, when asked if they're happy, most of them will say, if they're honest, there's something missing. Something missing. Now, we can all like things in life. I don't mean that, but, my friend, it's not the be and end all. Not the be and end all. If you want to do the will of God, you have to make sacrifices. Sacrifices have to be made. I never like people getting up and saying about all the sacrifices they've made, I must admit. Because the Lord knows about that. You don't have to tell people that you made sacrifices. The Lord knows about that. The Lord knows about that. Take up your cross. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally tonight, and briefly, it's a satisfying decision. Look at verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. To follow Jesus is a very significant decision. Because we're all living life in relationship to eternity. And in this verse, the last verse of this chapter, verse 38, Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed of me. Are you ashamed of Jesus tonight? Are you ashamed of Christ? The world will try to get us to be ashamed of Christ. But we need to develop a wholesome contempt for the world's ridicule. People who now laugh at us and make fun of us for loving and serving Jesus secretly envy us. Years later, maybe they'll come back and say that your Christian witness meant something to them. And one of these days, my friend, the Lord will return in glory. And our attitudes toward Him will determine His attitude toward us then. It says here, of Him shall the Son of Man also be ashamed, when He cometh in the glory of His Father. The holy angels. And you notice carefully the words of this verse tonight. And you ask yourself the question, am I a true follower of Christ? Am I a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not tonight, then will you begin tonight to be a true follower? A true disciple of Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what the Lord demands of all of us. May the Lord make us willing from this moment forward to follow Him truly. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indelibly write Thy word, the word of Scripture, the word of truth upon every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to the hymn, Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. 215 in the hymn book, it's on the screen as well. And we'll stand after the introduction and sing. If God has spoken to you tonight through the message, you're listening in or you're in the service, do speak with us or make contact with us. The service has come to you tonight from Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church, the Belfast Road in Ballygan. May God bless his word to all your hearts tonight, and thank you for listening. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all tonight, tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Then with all who are saved forevermore. Amen.